showing us this. It further justifies God's action against the nation of Israel. And that is clearly stated in this chapter. Even though Israel was God's chosen nation, they were not saved as a nation. Why not? Because salvation has another component to it. Israel seemed to assume that God's special choice of them granted them automatic inheritance. If you are an Israelite, privileged ones, the Gentiles are not. The Jews had the prophets, the Gentiles did not. The Jews were given God's oracles, the Gentiles were not. The Jews obeyed the law, the Gentiles did not. And yet, in spite of it all, God blessed the Gentiles, and the Jews do not stand in a right position with God. And Paul asks, how can we explain this? Well, that's what he does explain, beginning in verse 30, middle of the verse, through verse 31. That, the next word, the, probably should not be Gentiles, those with spiritual characteristics of the Gentile, the heathen word, that Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which did not, which did follow after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. So this paradox is especially interesting. And again, the Gentiles did not follow the Ten Commandments. They didn't obey or observe the ceremonies and the holy days, and they didn't make sacrifices, and they didn't attend the temple, and they didn't get circumcised, and they didn't recognize dietary laws, and they were not physical descendants of Abraham. They didn't have anything like that going for them, and still they received this divine righteousness. So that just really works against the Jews. The Gentiles he described are those that did not follow, it says there in verse 30. Gentiles which did not follow after righteousness. They didn't pursue. This was not something that was their primary goal. And yet for the Jewish people, this was everything. Follow the law, because the law is God's law, and it describes righteousness, and if we can just follow that to the end, we will be righteous before God. And the Gentiles were totally unaware of it. So if the Gentiles were so far from the legal commands, and yet God granted them righteousness, how did this come about? It came about in a totally unexpected way. The Gentiles, about whom he writes, were not in Abraham's line. We know that. But even more, they weren't even searching for righteousness. They did not follow after that law. It was not their goal to be right with God by following God's laws. Most of them didn't even know about God's laws. The heathen way is not in pursuit of God. It was altogether a false religious pursuit that the Gentiles had. Yet now, even though these people did not make the law, their standard of living, they are the ones granted the divine righteousness. What was it that they attained? That's what it adds. That's what it says here in the middle of verse 30. They have attained something. Well, they attained, it says, the righteousness which is of faith. So we're showing all of a sudden, right up front, there is a major difference between pursuing the law and accepting faith. So it's faith or law, faith or works, really is the argument that is being laid out here. The Gentiles could be, realistically, think about this, unaware of all of the legal demands of Scripture, and yet still gain a right standing with God, because the righteousness that they gained wasn't based on the law. It was granted because of faith. That means that you or I could speak to any person in this world that could be completely ignorant about God's laws. And if you explain to him faith or salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that person could, if he wanted to express faith in Christ, he could be saved right then and there without even knowing. It's fascinating to think that God does. How does this happen? Well, it's not the Gentiles' personal righteousness that God is coming. It is God's righteousness that God is coming. And does God tell man about his righteousness? Yes, he does. One way God did this was to give the Ten Commandments, and he did that with the Jews, showing them, this is how I am, this is how I think, this is what I expect from you, and I expect that your don't work for it. You get it as a gift. That's it. You can't work for it and get it as a gift. It's one or the other, and if you go the one way, you won't get it. They really did try it. However, according to this passage of Scripture, their efforts were not adequate. Their excellent efforts were done on a wrong scale. The Jews don't seem to complain about their religious demands. As a matter of fact, many of them, such as the Pharisees, prided themselves in the more laws they had, the better. And the more careful they are to follow all of those laws, the more impressive they would be. So they could not imagine that anybody that doesn't follow God's laws and their laws would gain favor with God. So they had taken the divine laws, they added to them, and they made obedience to them the basis for their salvation. They assumed that if they would follow all of these measures, that they would gain major headway for a righteous standing with God, so that the longer I go following all these laws, eventually I'll get to a place where God is going to be looking around. He's going to say, wow, this guy is really good. He's so good. He's coming to heaven because he's been following all these wonderful laws. But the Bible tells us that God never declares a man just or righteous because of law obedience. In fact, Jesus will go so far as to say that the Pharisees, the most meticulous followers of the laws, whether they were God-given or man-made, he said they have set a standard of excellence in law obedience. But then he followed up that statement by saying, however, even their obedience to it is insufficient for salvation. He said that in Matthew chapter 5. So if righteousness cannot be attained by obedience to God's law, then two simple questions. What is righteousness? And how do you get it? Well, back in chapter 1, it tells us that the righteousness of God is revealed in Scripture. God is righteous, and he demands righteousness from people. This is very plain all the way through the Old Testament, into the New Testament as well, particularly in the Ten Commandments and all the laws of God. The demands of the divine law are significant because they reflect the holiness of God. They display his purity. God says, if you're going to be my people, this is how you're going to be. God does not look on evil. Sin does not enter into his presence. God's explanation of how a righteous person lives is given or reflected in all the laws that he lays out. If you and I could follow these laws perfectly, like Jesus did, then we would be a perfect reflection of the law. But we can't do that. The Ten Commandments and all the other laws never allow us to fully satisfy the divine expectation of holiness because we fail on them all the time. There has never been a day when you can get through and obey perfectly even the Ten Commandments. Why not? We're sinners. And sinners cannot follow them perfectly. We cannot be righteous. And instead of being honored by the law for following them, we are under the threat, the curse of the law. So what we discover is that the Old Testament's demands declare that you and I fail God's expectation of righteousness. So when God says that we are sinners, that should have been enough for us. We didn't have to try running down that path that says, let me prove to you, God, that I'm better than you're thinking. Because every time you try to prove it, you fail, and you look worse. So God said, accept it right up front, you're a sinner. You can't get there. God's righteousness, Sam's righteousness, his own personal righteousness, is so high that it's impossible for you to obtain by obedience. The accurate conclusion righteousness that will get you into heaven. His righteousness. Verse 32, middle of the verse, or beginning of the verse, why not? Wherefore? Or why not? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. The goal that they had was a good goal. What was their goal? Their goal was to gain a right standing with God. Is that a good goal? It's an excellent goal. Alright, the law that they understood was a good law. It was God's law. Alright, good goal, good law. Surely if you put these two together, we'll be accepted. The process doesn't work. they would